Welcome back to the Dungeon Master's Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game. With every conversation, we hope to inspire as many as possible to keep on Dungeon Mastering.
And I'm one of your hosts, DM Derek. And with me today
is DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Maniac. One day, we will find out. Nope, I don't have anything. One day, that is not today, we will find out what your AKA is.
I have dozens of nicknames from the past, but none of them are applicable here, you know?
Reach out to Jeremy Cobb. He's got 1,000 of them. I'm sure he can spare one or two.
That's true. The Cobbmeister giveth.
Yes. But today we are going to be talking about... You know, really, I don't want to share too much because it's such an awesome story that... It's more fun to hear. But we're definitely going to be talking about timed sessions and the constraints therein. And I realize that in essence, it's a very self-serving episode because I wanted to know more because I'm going on the cruise convention that has way stricter timelines this year than last year.
Oh, yeah.
So
I love thinking about topics that I have not thought about before, and time constraints in such a way as we have discussed them, or we will discuss them, is not something I've ever considered as part of my gaming experience. So I'm excited to jump in.
Yep. And Rowan has a ton of good advice, especially from the actual play side of things, which has very strict time constraints depending on which stream you're on. Some couldn't care less. But with that, let's head to the meat.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
And today on The Meat, we have a special guest, Rowan Zioli, who is a TTRPG and actual play journalist and co-founder of the New Rascal News. So, Rowan, welcome to the show, first of all. Second of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here. I have been listening to this podcast for almost a decade now, actually. So real excited. This podcast has genuinely been a huge part of my journey with tabletop role-playing games. And I was DMing in high school and college, gave me a lot of my first insights on how to DM and run games for people. Then I went to college, went through a whole ordeal of various creative writing majors, moving through all of that, went into publishing, stand-up comedy, and now I am in journalism because the world is collapsing around us and the gig economy is strong. And so I'm here. We founded Rascal News. Me, Lynn Codega, Chase Carter founded Rascal News 2 months ago at this point as of recording. It is a worker-owned, reader-funded outlet where we are covering all things tabletop role-playing games, including like indie games, actual play, which is my beat, and making sure that we are getting the full dearth of the community and the industry outside of just Dungeons & Dragons or like Critical Role in Dimension 20, and also outside of just America. We are trying to make sure that we are representing the global community of tabletop role-playing games. From Latin America to Southeast Asia to Swana to anywhere that tabletop role-playing games exist. And we are doing our best and are pretty happy with how it's going so far.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, in knowing how much I know about the tabletop industry, which is the fact that every week I learn about some new show or person that I have never heard of. And I'm like, how have I been around doing this long and have not heard of these people? I'm sure you're constantly like digging up new stuff, new information, finding new stories that you want to write, but probably don't have time to write, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, there is so much going on all the time. One of the big like critiques, I suppose, that we got when we first launched all the anonymous Reddit posters were like, is there really going to be enough to cover in the tabletop industry for a whole outlet? And I'm like, oh, you have no idea.
Wow. Yeah, that's bold.
It's to the point where it's nicer to have a place that is more focused on specifically TTRPG content, because a lot of the larger sites, I personally just get lost. Mm-hmm. I don't want to subscribe to the newsletter because there's so much news that's not there. Even when I was following on like IGN Snapchat or a TikTok or things like that, it covers so broad a range that I'm like, so much of this content is cool, but it's not for me. Mm-hmm. Because like, that's not the specific game that I happen to be playing, or it's just a style of game I'm not interested in. Also, before we started recording, we had a conversation that is basically, there are a lot of companies that are asking you to hold their beer so often that I no longer have hands to hold them. It's just how it's functioning, because I also have theories that I think it's tough when the RPG space gets success really quickly. I think there are really big growing pains. So some of it is bad, markedly so, there is no question about it. And some of it is just genuine growing pains from success, which happens. That's how business works. That's what my two business degrees told me. But speaking of that, is there anything that you're currently working on? And unfortunately, that I have to put the caveat that you can talk about.
Yes. So working on two pieces right now. I am working a little bit on a piece regarding itch.io and their fundraising capabilities and kind of how some people have had some communication issues with them. We've seen big instances on Twitter of people saying that they're having communication difficulties there, but also kind of more largely on the like charity model that is very popular in the tabletop space and kind of how maybe we can imagine some alternative models for mutual aid in the space, as opposed to just focusing on charities, how we can support the members of our community directly, because we're all doing this as our second, third, fourth unpaid jobs. And so building up this industry internally and trying to figure out how to do that, as opposed to just passing around the same $20 the whole time.
Oh, the infinite paying that money. 5% transaction fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the chocolate bar. When you cut off the edge of the chocolate bar, you just put it there and it just keeps going.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I'm sure you're writing a whole bunch about this morning. But
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out the best way to approach, as of recording this morning, the president of Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro announced that she will be resigning and they are not sure as of who is going to replace them yet. We broke the story this morning, which is crazy. Getting to be a outlet that gets to break stories now is delightful, because Lynn Codega, my co-writer and co-boss, has a long history of breaking stories, as many people know from the OGL crisis. And so continuing that legacy with a now less corporate model and more worker-owned model feels right.
It does. Yeah, actually, I texted Neil this morning and said, did you see the news? And it was Rascal's news that I was asking him about, you know? So that's fun.
Shortly thereafter, my Twitter was like, just in case you didn't get the text message. I was like, oh, okay. You know what? I have a fun question. This is not my surprise question. I just feel like it's a funny way to ask this. Do you have anything that you're currently working on that you can't tell me about?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So for a surprise question, that's all. I just wanted the answer. So
I think it'd actually be really fun if you bleep this out, because I'll tell you both of this right now.
Oh, all right. Absolutely. Why not?
I already have a bumper that says redacted. Yeah. So
5 minutes and 35 seconds of audio redacted.
Unredacted. Here we are.
Unredacted. So for our surprise question, you know what? I want to ask, this is just a personal, I want to ask, what is your go-to class for a TTRPG? And, like, why do you feel like you choose that one? Because it says a lot about a person.
So my go-to archetype, I'll say, for a kind of character that I play is typically an old Jewish woman. She very frequently smokes cigarettes. She very frequently is perhaps a bookie or does some other kind of underground operation. And I've played this character over and over again because I think it's who I am in my soul. But yeah, definitely the kind of like charismatic rogue, specifically as an old woman.
Okay, I had to look up the name. June Gable, Joey's casting agent and friends.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Oh man.
I was like, I don't remember her name, but my wife watches Friends, and we'll do a full watch through of Friends and has every year we've been married. I know more about Friends by just secondhand.
Just osmosis.
Oh, yeah. It's just always on. Okay, perfect. So the actual topic at hand, because we do, in fact, have our own time constraint.
Whoa, it's meta.
Yeah. I try. It's literally just after a decade. Eventually, you'll figure out how to tie things together verbally. But I think it's more important than we realize. And I think one of the things that motivated me the most is that for the majority of the games that I run, I do not have a hard time constraint. Mm. But I feel like that's probably true of most people that run home games. And we can get into where those time constraints come up. But I feel like this conversation helps in case there's a time constraint on your home game. Mm. Or what the term I've used frequently is it ends up being universal design. If I have ideas about how to fit into a time frame better than the options afforded me when I don't have those time constraints are probably better. Mm. One of the other things that we always ask in, you know, as long in the tooth as we are, is like, why was that topic something that like spoke to you?
Yeah. And so when we were talking about topics and figuring out what exactly we're going to cover here, time constraints are really important for me personally for a twofold reason. One, I cover a lot of actual play. And so making sure that you are working within time constraints when you are creating a consumable entertainment product is really important. So like Critical Role, of course, has their like 3.5 to 6 hour episodes, which like I have played in marathon games that go that long. That was the majority of the games that I played when I was younger, for sure. But the second half of that is much more personal accessibility interest. Is I am someone with ADHD. I am someone who exists with a lot of chronically ill people. So having to play online sessions really comes into play a lot. And making sure that we are operating within a time constraint in those operations makes it so that way people who are neurodivergent, who have difficulty keeping their attention, especially when it's not in a physical space, allows people to go, okay, for the next hour and a half, for the next 2 hours, for the next 15 minutes, half an hour, if you're going to go compartmentalizing it down to that level, I can be fully present. I can make sure that my phone is away. I can make sure that I am here. And that kind of presence is essential to making sure that everyone at the table is like involved and having a good time, because everyone's had the experience where you're playing a game and someone's off walking somewhere else, or they're looking at their phone and you're in combat and you're like, oh, it's my turn, like that kind of vibe. And so understanding that time constraints aren't just like a problematic limitation that you have to come up against, but can be something to actually more properly engage the other people at the table so everyone can have the same amount of fun, was really important to me when you brought it up as the topic.
I think that leads us into like, what are some of the other places that time constraints are really important? And the way you framed it made me think of like, when I play with my kids, I cannot do 3 hours. That's mm-hmm. not reasonable for them. Because my son is 8 and my daughter is 10. It's just not a reasonable... you know, at that point, I'm asking them to fail. Like, yeah. If I'm asking for a 3 to 4 hour concerted session, like, that's not fair to them. And luckily, the person that got me into D&D is there as well. So it does help that I'm not the, you know, only adult. but at the same time, my son is so excited that he's literally falling out of his chair during the game because he's just so excited to be there and be involved. But yeah, if anything past 2 hours is just, it's just asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. You're just going to get mad at each other. Everyone's going to get frustrated. Like,
oh yeah,
it's going to make planning future sessions harder.
Absolutely. Derek, what are your thoughts? What are some time constrained scenarios?
So for me, I think of like convention games specifically, like being able to know how to fit all of the content that you want to fit within a time frame becomes crucial when you're running games there. Like, I've run Adventure League games that are supposed to be an hour long, and it's like they need to meet the person, get the quest, they need to do some exploration, they need to do the combat, and then they need to return to get the reward in an hour. And sometimes you're running a table of 8 people who've never played before, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, it can be stressful as a DM, as a GM to kind of do it well. So it's good to practice and good to kind of have this stuff on your mind when you're prepping games, especially ones that have time constraints like this. So that's the one that I thought of. But I do like the idea of having shorter games for people with shorter attention spans, especially kids. My kids can barely get through an episode of Bluey, which is, you know, 7 minutes. So,
whoa.
I'm just going to start crying right now, actually. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, did you have to break up the new one into several viewings?
I've seen it twice already. It was nice. Tough. Yeah. They actually did sit and watch the whole thing, which I was impressed by. But movies are like out of the question at this point. Like, still, it's just too long. They want to go play with dinosaurs, which, fair, I get it.
Same.
But yeah, I want to know, Rowan, about like running a lot of these types of games, then, especially with folks who have busy schedules or who have shorter attention spans for whatever reason. What have been ways that you have kind of found work really well to focus on the stuff you want to focus on, get it done, and kind of within that time window you've set?
Yeah. So what I've done typically is, obviously, like at the beginning of each session, kind of checking in with my players, being like, hey, what do we have today? Like, do we have an hour and a half in us? Do we have 3 hours in us? Because that fluctuation between the ability to pay attention and be present can fluctuate for so many reasons, from like ADHD and other neurodivergences to like you just had something really traumatic happen in your family, or you had a really long time at work, and so you're coming out of that. And
yeah,
making sure that you're remembering that the people at the table are people, and like you're all here to have fun together. But in the content of like the games that I'm doing, I've done some professional DMing as well. And so those you kind of have to make sure that you're like, all right, I got 2 hours, 2.5 hours, because I'm getting paid for these hours, and I need to make sure that I don't like undercharge myself for doing 3-4 hours of work that I'm only getting paid for 2 hours of. And so really plotting out, not in a railroady way, but in a, here are the scenes that I think we want to hit, here are the plot beats that I want to hit, and not tying those to specific people or specific moments, that really allowing for that fluctuation of like, okay, this is the information that I need to get across to my players this session. How am I going to do that? How can I be flexible in making sure that information gets across as quickly as possible, but also in a way that still feels satisfying?
I like it.
Yeah. So we used to, this is two jobs ago and enough years removed that I'll be okay, that we used to get together and do board games at lunch.
Mm.
And we would also put it on our calendar and it would say board meeting and no one would ever question it.
Incredible. My wife's boss puts course review. She works at a university. He puts course review when he's going to go play golf on his calendar.
That's exactly. So funny.
Yeah. So, but you were in that time constraint with the same thing. You're bringing something. You're literally bringing something to the table that others may not know. And so I think one of the other things with time constraints, I know for me, is I need to be more familiar with the material that I plan to have in that session. But part of that is I can be, because I know I have a time constraint. Mm-hmm. I know that there are only X amount of things that they can do. And so I think I like really having what you want them to start at and what you want them to end at. And everything in the middle, while you need to be familiar with it, can also just need to disappear and never be talked about, because do they latch on? Okay. When they latch onto the NPC that you didn't even name, and you're having to spend a little extra time in that scenario, thinking about what are the other things then that I can pull away so that they can still get to that end point that I needed them to, especially when you think about a con game or anything like that.
Like, what a crazy, oh, this NPC that didn't have a name actually has the information that you need to get to this plot point. Isn't that crazy? How did that happen?
Perfect. I mean, it's like I planned it the whole time. But I also, yeah, I really like also checking in with the players, and you know, I'll always bring it up because I don't know who I got it from or if it was just an idea I had, but the note card method of thinking of things that the people would like to see, because then you can also think about, okay, if someone's really interested in, you know, a combat, well, then that's not the thing I'm going to be able to pull out necessarily from this session. If anything, that's the thing I can drive towards, intentionally pulling out the other things that are not on anyone's card. I'm going to say this because I am I will quote Jerry Seinfeld. I'm a very positive person that ends up hating most things in my life. It's a quote he recently said, but I am like a super, super positive person, but a lot of things really do bother me. But they just don't bother me very much. So that is also to say that, like, I think we don't give enough credit to really letting positive emotions affect us in a different way. So that's another thing that you can think about, is like, if someone didn't receive negative information, they got really positive information, they're probably just as checked out as anyone else trying to process that. So yeah. I think one of the, and this is a surprise, we told you to talk to your players on this podcast.
I think also the, like in any narrative, the idea of a ticking clock is really, really essential to ramping up tension, will really drive people forward in like being engaged with the story. Cause they're like, you know, there are all those puzzles like, oh, the room is filling up with sand. The room is filling up with water. Figure out this puzzle in that amount of time. There are a lot of ways that you can engage with that. Like you can build a whole session around that idea of you have a ticking clock that is in real time. We have an hour and a half in the game, make it work. There's I know this is a D&D podcast specifically, but there's another game that came out recently by Elliot Davis called Rom-Com Drama Bomb, which is
nice.
It's a great game. It is a game about blending together an action movie and a rom-com. And so each installation of it is a 90-minute long game. There are six scenes, three acts. Each one is 15 minutes long. And so you have 15-minute segments in each part of this game to replicate the scenes and acts of a rom-com. And there is an active timer that is always playing, as always counting down as you are playing the game. And so you can play that game. I think you should go play that game. It's really fun. You should go get it. But also, bringing those devices in to your game, because D&D is all about homebrewing, all about engaging differently with the tools that we have. Bring that into a game that you're playing to see if it does anything to like ramp up and engage your players.
Yeah, I know like the classic is like you're in an hourglass and the sand is falling, you know, and that's kind of like the classic trap that's on a time limit. But I like the idea of having a larger time limit. You know, you could do something about like a fire burning and destroying something, or you could do like, you know, some kind of water pipe burst and it's filling up. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of different ways you could add time elements to your game to kind of give that sense of urgency and make it interesting.
Yeah.
I thought about the well, first off, I immediately wrote down Rom-Com Drama Bomb because
that's a great
year when I go to a Catacomb, there's a group and I always run something really interesting. Last year we did Jason Statham's Big Vacation.
Oh yeah.
But I think Rom-Com Drama Bomb is right up there. But the other ones I thought was like Dread or 10 Candles, but adding that as a DM element of I have like, you know, an hour and a half session and I have typically I use my iPad. Like let's say a timer goes off and I wouldn't have it notably go off or sound. I would just have it a visual thing for me. And every 5 minutes I pull another
block. Devastating.
But don't say anything. I think that's really where you're going to sell it. Or, you know, every, you know, with an hour and a half, every 13 minutes, that feels super gross, but 10 candles, this is how the math works. Mm. But go every X amount of time and just snuff out a candle. And just as just part of that tension inside of the session. So, I mean, we're deep in it, but like these are some of the pros. Like once you know that there is a certain time constraint, you can just start operating under that because you're telling the players that. You yourself know that that's the case. So the things that you can do in that time frame can become more solidified because there isn't this nebulous 4, 6, 8 hour kind of thing. And you also are, I feel like I'd be so much more confident in some aspects because I'm like, well, no, this is the story's done at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then next session we'll pick up and then we'll go from there. So what are some of the other pros in terms of like these time constraints?
I think some other pros are you cannot spend half an hour debating what you're going to do. You cannot kind of just like sit around being like, all right, well, how are we going to get this heist done? How are we going to make sure that we're going in and doing this? You just got to take action and trust your gut. And I think honestly, following that intuition and following those choices make for really interesting stories. And I think that's a really important thing that a lot of people forget playing these games is that like you are supposed to be having fun and telling a good story, and failing and making mistakes is a really essential part of having fun and telling a good story. And I think a lot of the time people spend debating what to do for such a long time, there are really valuable places to do that in the real world. Things should be thought through. You should have discussion. When you're playing a game and you're free to learn and make these mistakes, make them as often as you can. Like, take those big swings, make those big risks. And I think forcing yourself to exist within those time constraints ups the ante a little bit and makes it so that way those mistakes are pushed a little bit more to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, oh no, you have to make another character. I mean,
oh.
Yeah, but even, but I mean, or the stretches on the DM's part, like, okay, so they did fail, but what does failing forward look like? Or, okay, what does, you know, what does this failure, what new path does it open? I guess is a better way to say it. Because, okay, you know, what movie, because the term is the Mary Sue, where the character shows up and then they just do everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, it's not a trope that everyone's like, yeah, don't forget to add one of those to your story. So, like, the idea of it, like, some of the best stories, it's like, it's the struggle that, like, makes the thing at the end feel like it was worth it. Or they're just going through everything and not having any struggle. That's, I literally can't think of a story where that's true. And, like, or like, a really compelling story where that's true.
I think that's the compelling part is a really important little asterisk there.
So, Rowan, with all these pros in mind, what are some of the cons, do you think, of having these time constraint games? And maybe also, what are some of the big challenges you face when you're trying to run a game like this?
I think the cons are maybe feeling rushed. And I think, like, same, making mistakes and, like, kind of pushing the story in a direction that you maybe didn't want the story to go in. But then that is the responsibility of communicating with the other people at the table to be like, hey, this is a game. Do we want to go this direction? Like, making sure that that's happening. I think another con that it presents is kind of like you said before, Neil, how you might skip over some real cool stuff that you had planned. You might not be able to get to the really intricate landmark or get to encounter the really cool NPC. And that is a loss for sure. There is some grief over not getting to share your cool thing with your friends, but you can pop it up in a different game. I think the challenge that it most presents is it requires a lot of trust. It requires more trust than a regular game because you don't have to meander. You don't have the ability and the flexibility. And so a lot of people play with groups that are kind of their only option sometimes because they're the only people there. And when you're on a time constraint, first thought, not always best thought, but it's the one you have to go to. And you have to make sure that that first thought is considering the safety and fun of the other people at the table. And that is a real challenge sometimes.
Yeah, something unforeseen is also a real difficulty in this setup.
Yeah.
If there's literally anything that happens that is outside of the direct control of the table, there's not a lot that can be done because of the time constraint. If it's that, you know, if I think about my board game example, or I think about a convention game example, like if there's a reason why I couldn't get into this room, my hour and a half starts turning into an hour and 15 minutes, an hour. And, you know, and then the tension, the real tension of everyone else feeling that, I think it is really true. Or if you have someone that you find out those time constraints don't work that well for them, and that they're, in essence, they're not going to have a great time because of that time constraint. See my daughter. She just doesn't operate under the time constraints as well as my son does or other people at the table. But it's also, again, it's thinking about how everyone's going to operate under those time constraints. It's also the kind of thing where you're probably not going to know until you're in it as to whether or not you feel comfortable running a game with such specific time constraints. I don't know why this popped into my head, but the first time I was going to get an MRI, they're like, are you claustrophobic? I'm like, we'll find out. I don't know. I haven't forced myself into a tiny metal tube with a bunch of sci-fi noises going off the whole time while you all leave the room for your own safety, which makes me feel great. So I guess we'll know here in about 20 minutes whether or not I am, in fact, claustrophobic.
If I'm screaming, I'm probably claustrophobic. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I have a red button that I could push that will slide me back out of this thing? Because I had to go in head first. So.
Ooh, big yikes.
Yeah, I'm not. Really, it was just the noises that bothered me the most of like, oh, okay, this is just super loud. and I watch too much sci-fi. That's what's bothering me the most.
That's so fair. I had a professor in college, as we're talking about time and time constraints. This was, I graduated college during quarantine, the quarantine period of COVID. And I had a professor who emailed me towards the tail end. I could tell he was losing it. He sent an email where the subject was, "Time is an illusion designed to tyrannize us."
Absolutely. I would be so excited. I'd be like, I can't open this email.
I was like, this is perfect.
I hope there's a video attached.
Oh, no.
I need to know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... There's certainly a lot of pluses, but I'm trying to think of some of the other cons. I mean, like you said, depending on how linear or nebulous your story is, there are certainly elements that you will cut that will not see the light of day. They will not have an opportunity to come back. And that's the other thing about like pre-written material when running it at a convention. Like there's elements of that like you cannot be beholden to the fact that it has ABC XYZ that you need to walk through. Like there are pieces and parts that absolutely just have to go away. Because I think of, you know, if it's my con game and I'm running Jason Statham's Big Vacation, I have a time constraint. Yes. I can do really whatever believe me, I can really do whatever I want when it comes to that game. But if you think about something more structured, that's where you're going to get into some really interesting pieces if it's Adventurers League or if it's Pathfinder Society or any other like structured play program for a specific game where they really are trying to hit X, Y, and Z beats because these people are going to walk away with a certain magic items. They're going to walk away with a certain level of experience. There are like really preset things. So I think that's the other thing to note is like there are certain times where your feet are held to the fire because you have to do certain things in that time constraint and you don't get a choice.
And you don't want it to feel railroaded. You want it to feel organic. And like, that's a little bit of a difficult element also. And I think on the converse side, with people not being able to gather as much, if you have one day a month where you can play a game with people and you're like, I want to try this time constrained version of this game. And they're like, hey, this is the one time we can play and I want to be here for 8 hours. Your group might not want to play a timed hour and a half session. That might not be their vibe.
Yeah, that's very fair. I know like if I'm going to play on a weeknight, there's usually kind of like a hard stop we all agree on. But if it's a weekend, then it's more flexible. But also the older we all get, the more we just want to go to bed. So, you know,
it's so a real sword. So real.
Oh, that's of course, this is the perfect thing that we obviously should talk about next. Are there times that any of us can think of that are either a direct, like firsthand positive or a firsthand negative when doing or when having a session that has time constraints?
Oh, I mean, my example is there should have been time constraints. I'll let Rowan go first with the actual applicable ones.
I was playing a game of Shadowrun with some friends, and we were pulling off a heist of some kind. And again, it was a group of like, we were all tangentially connected, but we all had like been close with one person, the GM of the game. And the time constraint that was put on us, because we all did not trust each other, we did not have the play styles meshed, we did not understand how we were approaching this and like what kind of game we wanted to play, brought a lot of like real tension, and that bled over from our characters into us people at the table, because we were getting angry at like deciding which direction we wanted to head, how we wanted to do this properly. And because we had that time constraint, it just made everything seem so much worse. And so that is an example of like, it hadn't been communicated. We all didn't trust each other. All of the things that we've been saying, it was none of those things. And it ended up being a rough time. That ended up being fine at the end. And we played a couple more sessions, but not something I would like to replicate.
I'm trying to think of which convention this was at. But when I brought up the whole not getting into a room thing, that was because it happened. And like, that's the other thing. if you're listening and you're planning on going to Gen Con, one thing that I would say is you should be hyper aware of where your game actually is. Just because while it is, there are things that do happen in the convention center, Lucas Oil Stadium is nearby. Basically every other structure, I don't even want to say hotel, literally any available structure in the like 1 mile radius could actually be where your game is. So it was in a building up. Oh yeah. So like there was one time where I was like, I'm standing at the convention center. I'm like, oh, it's at this hotel. That hotel feels like it is in the distance. That sucks. And then like start running. And then another was like in an older building nearby that was like tucked into an alcove, but it's like, it's too big for that. 'Cause it had our table, but it wasn't like a closed room space, but there was also like LARPing in the area for like Vampire the Masquerade, which was always entertaining to just like be sitting at your table and a whole LARP go by. And you're just like, I don't know what's happening. And I don't have time to find out, but it was in a build. It was in a building I had not yet even seen. So then by the time we all got there, the room itself was, it was a really nice room because it was very out of the way and private. So in terms of like a con game, I appreciated that. But like by the time we had gotten there, there was just so much time that had been lost in actually everyone getting to this space that was so far out of the way, as well as having it open and available. So you just felt, like I said, you just felt that tension, even though it's not in essence actually there, because the time constraint can just change for, you know, the new time constraint. But it definitely like took a while to like kind of break that tension and get into the game because everyone was kind of on edge having waited so long to actually start.
Gen Con must be way bigger than I think it is, if what you are describing is how it works.
Very Edinburgh insane. Fringe Festival vibe.
Goodness. Everywhere that could be Airbnb is gone because every hotel is already gone. They plan it on a weekend because it's NFL's preseason. So they plan it on a weekend where the Colts are at an away game for the preseason, and they take over. They take over the entire bottom of Lucas Oil Stadium and fill that out with tables and things. I don't think I played a single thing in the actual convention. I went because that's where the vendor hall is, but I actually didn't play a single thing inside of the convention center. Everything I did was outside.
Wow. Well, my example is also, well, it's from a streamed game I played in one time. I got invited by somebody to come play a kind of one shot. It was already quite late at night for all of us when the game started. And then it was kind of like using some new technologies. And it, like you were saying, Rowan, like none of us had played together before. So there, it wasn't like we were at odds, but just you don't have the rhythm and the feel like you do with your normal groups that you kind of get into, right? And so all of these things combined to like a 5 or 6 hour session of this streamed game. And by the end, you know, we're fighting the big bad thing that we've been trying to find this whole time. And it, you know, it takes like an hour to win this fight, and none of us are having fun at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was like a very much like a, maybe it's time to adjust what we have prepared to make this go faster so that we can get it over with, learn the lessons we needed to learn and move on. I think that flexibility is a big part of running games in general, but in this particular instance, like, kind of reading the room, realizing this is taking way too long, we need to cut some stuff, that would have made the experience a lot better for everybody. No shade at all, you know, it's just kind of a lesson that everyone has to learn at some point. But that to me was like a prime example of, hey, we should put some kind of time constraint on this, and then we should also, like, the DM should be aware in pushing things forward as much as possible. So
yeah. And to speak to the positives a little bit more, just to like round that out, is in actual play, my beat.
Yeah.
Having a half hour long episode, having an hour and a half long episode, and making sure you can time that out makes it so that way people are actually going to watch it. because there was a study that went out that showed that anyone who does watch actual play typically only watches about four. They can only have the capacity at most to keep up with four just because of how much content there truly is. And so for anyone listening who does want to get into actual pre-production, does make actual plays, having that time constraint and knowing narrative pacing for an hour-long episode, a two-hour-long episode, and making sure that you can keep that pacing in is a way to make it so that way more people will actually engage with the thing that you are creating.
Yeah, people have an hour for lunch, or they've got this long of commute, or, you know, people listen to shows doing other things usually, right? It's not like sit down and listen to my actual play for 2 hours. Like, you know, it's part of our day. It's baked in. So that makes a lot of sense.
I will say, yeah, because I was like, wow, we've been extremely negative. Here's some positives. At that same Gen Con, I had what I will easily say is the best RPG session I've ever had. Longtime listeners will know, like, to say how plugged in I was, I didn't make a joke for like the better part of 3 hours because I was so focused on being my character, who was not a joking character. So focused on that. And it, you know, it was lightning in a bottle. It was the person, it was a Blue Planet game. It was Jeff Barber who had wrote Blue Planet. I wrote for the new version. Like, that's how much that game impacted me personally. But that's to say, when these time constrained games go really well, they are some of the most satisfying sessions because they have an intended and achieved conclusion, often with bits of an epilogue, because you had that big conclusion. So like when I was at a Catacon and John Arcadian ran the Tarrasc, and I use the deck of many things and it does the void, so my soul's ripped out of my body. The chosen guardian is now this dead, now undead Tarrasc, and who knows where. And so then the next year we come and play that next session. But it is to say that, like, you can have such solid narrative, like, conclusions to things because you know exactly where you're headed and you actually get there.
I think you also bring up something really interesting. A big part of playing these games for a lot of people is, like, the immersion, the flow state, if we want to, like, use that language, and tapping into and experiencing the reality of the character that you are living as. And when you are forced to really, like, be in that time constraint and really forced to not like let all of the other distractions come in, you can really embody and immerse yourself within the perspective of that character and really tap into the emotional experience of playing as that character in a way that a looser, more free-flowing game might not allow you to, just because you don't have the same internal constraints of knowing that you only have this much time, so you got to make the most of it.
So that leads us to homework.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what we're going to say, but I'm going to put a caveat on it. So if you're listening to an actual play that is a podcast, I don't think that's actually okay. Insider baseball. Fun fact. They just record a bunch of episodes together. The time constraint is but a mere illusion for you.
yes, depends on the recording, but yes.
Yes, it does. So, well, just to say that that's something to think about when listening to an actual play, that some of them will rack up 3-4 episodes at a time, so the time constraint is a little bit more nebulous.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to something that is a live stream that has a hard time that they start and relatively like a time that they stop, I think that that's a little bit more beneficial, just in the sense that like there's no post editing magic that's happening. But yeah, does anyone have, I don't know what bits of media outside of that.
I got some good recommendations.
Okay.
Go, Rowan, yeah.
For actual plays, I've got a bunch of reviews of actual plays up on the Rascal site where I review actual plays like they are television shows, like they are films, like they are plays, because I think that our medium deserves that kind of critical attention and analysis. Some really great ones that I have to recommend. Anything Done by My First Dungeon are some incredibly produced actual plays. No episode goes over 2 hours, I think. Most of them are much shorter than that. Another one is Goodia by Nameless Domain, which is a 2-hour long feature length actual play using the Bluebeard's Bride system. a very fantastic queer Southeast Asian take on the Bluebeard's Bride system. Another really good one is Beyond the Brook. Beyond the Brook is an Over the Garden Wall actual play using the Babes in the Woods system. Each episode is 1 to 2 hours long. It is edited production-wise, but is unedited in terms of the improv that is done at the table. And so you are getting that unfiltered experience. There are no cuts. It is a visual actual play. And so you can see that kind of dynamic play out in each of those 10 episodes where you have 1.5 hours to get through some story beats. And truly, those three are some of like the top tier of actual play in what is being referred to as the medium's ambitious middle.
Very fun, very fun. I'm scrolling right now through all of your reviews, and I'm very interested to learn about a few of them. That Beyond the Brook one sounds really fun. I'm going to check
it really
out for
good.
Sure.
It's really
For me, I just thought of some movies that have time constraints baked into the plot as a way to like give you some inspiration for your own games. So here are my three movie picks in no particular order. Inception is interesting. You've got the kind of like the plane flight, but you've got the layers of like it takes this much longer in a dream, or you know, there's kind of some interesting layers that are added there. But the plane flight is the time they have while he's asleep to kind of pull off this heist. Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast, you know, the clock strikes midnight and you turn back into a ragamuffin, you know, and that's interesting, you know, kind of like the at the end of the night, this magic, whatever is happening is over. So, you know, make the most of it. I like that. And lastly, Apollo 13, based on a real story, you know, actual people up in a tin can only have so much oxygen left before you can figure out how to save them and bring them back home. Also interesting. But yeah, those are kind of my three picks for like inspiration for your own home games.
Yeah. Well, that made me think of 24.
Yeah, I was just thinking of 24.
It's literally also a ticking clock. The other one that I think of is like if you go back to older Dragon Talk episodes where Greg and Shelley basically run like 5 to 15 minutes at the end of each episode, like with the time constraint of like, we can't just do this forever. We have to hit quick beats, which is interesting because it's like, I mean, one of the other difficult things with it is if you have time constraints, like depending on the gap between your play, it's difficult sometimes to remember what happened.
I love Greg Tito. I feel so bad how many emails I have to send him like, hey, bud, can you get me a comment? I'm so sorry.
You know, he's so nice that I feel like he's probably fine with it. You know, I don't know. I can't see him saying a mean thing to anybody.
No, he's so good. He's such a great guy.
Oh, yeah. So where can people go to find you on this world wide web?
You can find me on at Rowan Zioli on all of the various social medias. Figure out which one you use. I'm probably there. And you can find Rascal News online at rascal.news, the website, or on social medias at rascal_news on Twitter and Blue Sky.
Perfect. And we'll have links to all that in the show notes. And of course, thank you for coming on. And I have little doubt you'll be back on at some point.
I would love nothing more.
We just want to thank Ron again for coming on, sharing some time with us, some thoughts, some way back wins of emails that I sent that had a larger impact than I would have ever guessed. So yeah, having them be a peer in this industry, I couldn't ask for more. I normally don't ask for anything, but I couldn't ask for more than that.
Yeah, she gave such a, well you know, just the story she told about, you know, DM's block being kind of that thing that she needed at that time in her life. Yeah, it just goes to show you, anything you do can be worth a lot more to somebody else than it is to you.
Yeah, and if you want to tell us about the things you've done that have like greatly impacted others, because I'm down for a heartwarming story, if you've got one, you can always email us at dungeonmasterblock or dungeonmastersblock@gmail.com. Put the S, don't put the S. I took them both. There you go.
And if you've got some great ideas about using time constraint in your games, we're always willing to hear them on Twitter at DMS_block or on Facebook or via our email addresses, like Neil said, anywhere you can find us on social medias, we will respond.
And as always, the Dungeon Masters Block is a proud member of the Block Party Podcast Network, where you can check out other shows like Detentions and Dragons, Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters, and more.
Thanks for listening to the Dungeon Masters Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game, the only person capable of playing God,
killing characters,
and lowering the egos of all of the people at the table. I'm DM Derek. Roll some nat 20s for me.
I'm DM Neil. Good night. Good luck, and keep on Dungeon Mastering.
It's not inspiration, it's not wisdom, and it's bad advice.
I like putting time constraints because I don't like my players, sub-players.
Is that going to be the...
It's just
bad advice. It's bad because I'm going to laugh at your jokes in real time. It's going to affect...
I really don't think about it at all until right... like, literally right then. Had not thought about it in any way, shape, or form up until that very moment.
Time constraints because I hate my players. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It depends on the day.
Goodbye.